We have two readings today. One is Book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 18 to 25, which is found on page 1034. And the second book is from Mark, chapter 8, verses 14 to 30. Let us hear the word of God as written in Isaiah chapter 42, verses 18 to 25. Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. It pleased the Lord for the sake of his righteousness to make his law great and glorious. But this is a people plundered and looted, all of them trapped in pits or hidden away in prisons. They have become plunder with no one to rescue them. They have been made loot with no one to say, send them back. Which of you will listen to this or pay close attention in time to come? Who handed Jacob over to become loot and Israel to the plunderers? Wait, was it not the Lord against whom we have sinned? For they would not follow his ways. They did not obey his law. So he poured out on them his burning anger, the violence of war. It enveloped them in flames, yet they did not understand. It consumed them, but they did not take it to heart. The second reading from Mark chapter 8, verses 14 to 30. It's found on page 1437. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed with one another and said, it is because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Did you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His eyes was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't even go into the village." Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. This is the word of God.
Thank you for that Bible reading, Lancelot. Well, good morning, church. It's good to see you here once again. Just for those who don't know me, my name is Sam Semisi, and I'm a fourth-year student at our theological college in Box Hill. Anyway, thank God for his for this opportunity to preach God's words in front of you again. And thank you for your welcoming smiles and your warm hospitality this morning. Before we start, can I ask you to bow your head as we dig deeper into the Word of God? As I seek the guidance of the Spirit in preaching His Word, let's pray. Now, Father in heaven, I pray that you hear our humble prayer, that your Word and your rules be our guide and your Spirit be our teacher. And let your glory be revealed in us as we look into your word. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted to you. Amen. Now, for those of you that were here a few weeks ago, you would probably remember that my passage for that sermon was Mark chapter 8 from verse 1 to 13. Now, that's the passage before this morning's scripture reading. So this morning's sermon is a continuation of from last time. Now, if you remember, last time we talked about Jesus feeding the 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few fishes. And we noticed that in that miracle, Jesus reveals his identity as the bread of life that never go bad. But even after performing a miracle, some people still don't get it. Like the Pharisees who kept wanting to see extra powerful sign to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. And we know that Jesus gives them nothing. As a matter of fact, he left them. He rejected them. Well, in our passage this morning, we find that even the disciples are still having some doubt about the real identity of their master. And so we see in our passage that Jesus is performing another miracle. And this time, he's going to heal the blind man in multi-stages. Now, this is the only time that the Bible records Jesus healing someone in this way, where the process takes a few stages for healing. And as we'll find out, this miracle by Jesus is done with a purpose also. He wants to reveal to his disciples who he really is. And he's going to perform this miracle in multi-stages to illustrate to them that they are spiritually blind. And he wants them to open their spiritual eyes. So the title of our sermon is The Identity of Jesus. And I will be looking at the process involving healing of the blind man in the passage in Mark chapter 8 that we read. And the focus is on the healing process described in verse 22 to 26. But we're going to use the whole passage for our discussion. See, Jesus does things in his own ways, and he has a purpose for doing it. And we can see that purpose as he performed this miracle in stages. So Jesus is revealing himself as the Messiah to his disciples by healing the blind man in few stages. So our sermon this morning will be in simple division of three touches. The first touch, walking with Jesus. The second is walking trees. And the third touch is walking confidently. But before we look at our three touches, let me explain the background of our passage leading to the healing in Bethsaida. Now, please, don't just look at me. Have a look at your Bible too. And follow through with me as I read through in Mark 8. Like I said last time, at this stage of Jesus' ministry, when we get to chapter 8, he was on his final rounds around the Galilee before he makes his journey into Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way to the cross. And you know his time is short. Now, Jesus has just finished feeding the 4,000 in the Decapolis, as we found out last time. And then he had an eventful encounter with the Pharisees at Dalmanutha. So they left on a boat and went towards Bethsaida. Now, Bethsaida is towards the top of the Galilean Sea. So he came from Decapolis into Dalmanutha, and now he's going up to the Galilean Sea, up the top. And this is where our story began. And we come to the passage in verse 14. It says that on a boat ride to Bethsaida, the disciples have forgotten to bring some bread. And there's only one loaf on the boat. And while they were on the boat, it says that Jesus is giving them advice. In verse 15, Jesus tells the disciples to beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and King Herod. You know what yeast is, don't you? It's the stuff that causes the bread to rise when baking. And normally yeast in the Bible is used as a negative metaphor. Now what does a simple-minded disciple conclude about Jesus' statement on the yeast of the Pharisees and King Herod? They thought that Jesus was referring to their lack of preparation. They thought that Jesus was not happy with them because they didn't bring enough bread. And verse 16 says that they started a discussion among themselves. I think NIV translation, if you look at it, is very kind in saying that the disciples were having discussion. See, the actual Greek word that is used in this passage means more than discussion. The word refers to the disciples arguing among themselves. So Jesus, listening to their argument, starts to reprimand them. And starting from the middle of verse 17 to 19, Jesus says to them, follow through, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? You notice that? That's a very serious statement. The disciples are lucky to find themselves at the mercy of Jesus. He's asking, are your hearts hardened? You know, a couple of verses before our passage, and you can look at that in verse 12, it says that Jesus sighed deeply and left the Pharisees to their doom. He gave them nothing. He didn't give them any more chance. So when the Spirit knocks on your heart, you better soften it. Let's carry on. Verse 18 says, do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for 5,000, how many baskets full of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. See, the disciples are worrying about simple things like food, but the provider of food is right next to them. He's performed miracles after miracles, even food miracles. and taught them parables so they could understand. But they still doubted his messiahship. And Jesus, realizing their lack of understanding, tries to educate them. So Jesus is going to use the healing of this blind man to illustrate to his disciples that they are spiritually blind. And Jesus is going to perform the process in a few stages. He wants to open their spiritual blinded eyes by using an illustration as he goes through a process while healing the blind man. And so we come to our first point, the first touch. I named this walking with Jesus. It says that they have arrived at Bethsaida. And here, Jesus sees an opportunity to help his disciples open their spiritual eyesight. Let's have a look at verse 22 and the first part of verse 23. It says, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Now we will see how Jesus uses these miracles as a living parable for his disciples so they can open their blinded minds. It says that when they got to Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to him and begged Jesus to touch him. The people of Bethsaida want Jesus to touch the blind man and heal him there. But Jesus has a different plan. You know, this is not the first time that Jesus was at this part of Galilee. And Jesus has performed many miracles here. See, the Gospel of Matthew 11:21 alludes to the mighty work that was done in Bethsaida. Let me read this text to you. Matthew 11:21 says, woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Now that word, woe, that's W-O-E, it means great sorrow or distress. So, woe, great sorrow to you, Bethsaida. You see, the people of Bethsaida have seen Jesus work before, and they come again looking for more wonders. They must think it's great entertainment. Perhaps the crowd was expecting more great miracles in front of their eyes from Jesus. So we see that Jesus, instead of touching the blind man to be healed as they wanted, took the blind man by the hand and led him out of Bethsaida, out of the crowd, out of the village. Let me ask you something. Have you seen a blind man being led by someone? Can you imagine leading a blind person? You holding the hand and directing the blind person, perhaps crossing the road. Can you imagine that? How about leading him out of town? Now, imagine Jesus leading that blind man out of town. And these were ancient times. In those days, they didn't have concrete footpaths. And they didn't have proper roads. But it says that Jesus took him by the hand and led him out of the village. Now, can you imagine that experience? See, the first touch is to guide the blind man to his place of healing. Can you imagine Jesus leading him through the crowd, around the village market, around the people's houses, into the bush, out of the village? And imagine the excitement on that blind man as Jesus patiently and kindly navigating him along one step at a time, all the while holding his hands. You see, we're people accustomed to touching each other. Not in inappropriate ways, of course, but in ways that show our warmth. You know, when you go to places and see people you don't know and you greet them with handshakes, How about an affectionate touch with someone special to you? Some of you probably know what I'm talking about. You know, like walking around a beach or the park on that first date holding hands. And what about for you married couples at the time of the wedding vow when you're asked to hold hands? That's special, isn't it? Well, it says that Jesus touched him by the hand and led him out. That is special. I see here a clear portrait of how the Lord leads lost, blind sinners and bring them to the place of salvation. See, we don't recognize his touch, but throughout our whole lives, Jesus is working and leading us. Every event, every circumstance, every tragedy, and every blessing is the Lord taking your hands and mine in his grip. And his call is specific: to reach where only those who are concerned can see, into the heart. Jesus is gradually performing this healing, and it starts from the heart. The hardened heart of the disciples need to be softened. So Jesus healing the blind man along his healing spot, leading the blind man along his healing spot, shows his disciples that he's been guiding them along, softening their hearts to recognize the Messiah with them. Now let's see what happens when they arrive at the healing site. Look at the last part of verse 23 of Mark 8. It says, when he had spit on a man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? Watch how Jesus works in his blind man's life to give him back his sight. It says, he spits on a man's eyes. Oh, that's a bit weird. Yeah. Anyway, the spitting immediately followed by the Lord's tender touch. And that's our second touch. So Jesus lays his hands on the blind man's eyes. Then Jesus asks him if he can see anything. And this blind man gave an honest answer. Let's have a look at it. Let's have a look at it. Look at the next verse, verse 24. It says, he looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Now, we can see from this answer that the blind man's vision is not fully restored. His sight is not yet clear. The healing is not complete. See, this blind man has been led out, spat on, touched at, and now has to answer honestly. Now let's focus on that question by Jesus. Do you see anything? Jesus didn't just ask if he felt or experienced anything, nor for his opinion. He gave a real test. Do you see anything? Now, this question is not only to the blind man. Those walking trees around him are involved in this healing process too. Jesus is asking, have your spiritual eyes been opened? Can you see the glory of Christ, the Messiah? Can you see his mercy? And Jesus is looking for an honest answer. Now let us be clear here. Jesus cannot be limited to our own imagination. You can't put God in a box and say, that's how he does it all the time. We can't presume that we know God's way and thoughts. Isaiah 55:9 says, and I'll read it for us. It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, God's ways and thoughts are beyond our capacity. If we look at the way Jesus healed the people when he was here on earth during his ministry, he touches to heal one leper or speaks to heal 10 lepers. He goes and touches the sick or heals from a great distance. He touches the daughter of Jairus to raise her from the dead. And touches the stretcher and speaks to raise the son of the widow of Nain. Or just speaks to raise Lazarus from the tomb. So we can't presume that we know how God does things. See, everyone that the Lord lays hands on has imperfect and incomplete visions of reality. We see but not clearly. Things are a bit confusing, especially at first. But the Lord's work has an effect. And like this blind man, we should acknowledge it and desire to see more and understand more. Be honest and not be content with half sight. Tell Jesus that we still see and understand so little. Jesus has started his work on us, and he will perform it in his own way and in our ever many stages we require to clear our hearts. So Jesus is slowly working on the hearts of his disciples to help them open their spiritual eyesight. And he does that for you and me also. So we can see that the blind man is only seeing people like walking trees. And let's see what happened next. Verse 25 says, once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, then his eyes were open, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Notice, there aren't any more drastic measures that Jesus takes. He simply repeats the touch, and his sight is fully restored. Nothing else needed. His healing is complete. His eyesight is resolved. Now he can walk confidently in Jesus. As we have noticed, this healing process illustrates the spiritual conditions of the disciples. And Jesus uses this process to open their spiritual eyes. And we can see that they began to open their eyes, even if it's only a vague understanding. You can see that in Peter's confession in verse 29. See, when Jesus asked the disciples who he thinks Jesus is, Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Do you think the disciples' eyes are opening? I think so. Christ has his hands on their spiritual eyes, and he would make their sight clearer and clearer. So let's not miss what the Lord is trying to teach us here. This process is also the way the Lord works for every one of his children. Jesus often opens our hearts through the repeated means of grace, like reading the scripture, praying, and going to church. So we can see that in this multi-stage healing, Jesus is illustrating to his disciples, including us, to open our hearts and minds to understand and accept his ways as the Messiah. So, brothers and sisters, don't harden your hearts. Open your spiritual eyes and feel the touch of the Spirit in your life. Jesus, the Messiah, is in control of his people. He has been along with us in all the different stages of our lives. So if you are feeling that you're lacking in your spiritual walk, if you are feeling that you are not serving your Lord well, if you feel like there's something holding you back from fully committing your life to God, if you're worried about your family and friends that you've been trying to bring to the Lord, if you are worried about life, please leave all your troubles to the hands of the Messiah. While we are all in different stages of perceiving our Savior, Jesus looks at us as his redeeming, loving creation. We are all the same in the eyes of the Messiah. Also, this passage says that we see things, we see people, but they look like trees walking. This is the condition that we're living in these last days. In our present life, we see in part, and know in part. We see a lot that we don't understand. Our eyesight will never be fully restored until Jesus comes. Jesus came to earth, died, and rose again, and now he's in heaven. And he promised to come back again and take all those that the Father gives him to live with him forever. And while we are here in this corrupt world, let's recognize the Messiah along our paths and trust in his leading. So, family of God, what is the identity of Jesus that you have? Is he your Messiah, the Christ that promises you everlasting life? Messiah tells you, soften your heart, open your eyes, listen to his voice. The Spirit has been walking with you all along. The Apostle Peter says to Jesus, you are the Messiah. Let the Lord be our vision and our guide as we meditate on his love for us. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our King, we long to be with you where we will be fully restored. But we give you thanks for your leading along our paths in these last days and opening our spiritual eyes to perceive your will for us. We thank you for your word and its teaching in our lives. We thank you that it is not through any of our deeds that gives us assurance of fellowship with you. Help us, Lord, to recognize the Messiah along our paths. And Father, help us to trust in your ways completely until that wonderful day. Amen.